What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Say hello.
Hello.
Introduce yourself.
I'm Stormy Daniels.
We've known each other a long time. I feel like I need to be honest with you. This story makes me want to leave my body.
The White House has said that this was an allegation which was talked about prior to the election that was shot down.
Trump and Daniels invited her to their hotel room. Trump allegedly saying, oh, come on, Alana, let's have some fun. Let's have some fun. Come to the party. We're waiting for you.
This is Virginia Heffernan, and welcome to TrumpCast. We're in an emergency broadcast because I have shanghaied Jacob Weisberg here to tell me what the hell has been going on between him and a porn star. That's right. Jacob Weisberg became part of the news this week when the Wall Street Journal and then the New York Times reported that a porn star, of all things, had come forward to accuse Donald Trump of, well, Donald Trump's team of buying her silence when she wanted to talk about a consensual affair she had with him. Cited in the New York Times account of this was Jacob Weisberg, who apparently knew all about this ages ago. So his wife has her own concerns about him, but as his co-host, my concerns are, why didn't you do the story for TrumpCast pre-election? I'm starting to think, did you give us Donald Trump? That's what we're here to find out today. So, Jacob, tell us what happened.
Virginia, I could swear I told you about this story that I'd been working on it and got stuck and couldn't do it. It seems a funny thing for you to forget.
Don't guys always say, remember that brief conversation where we had where we said we had an open marriage 2 years ago on the way out the door? Well, maybe you mentioned it to me, but somehow it didn't stick. So refresh my memory.
Well, I'm sorry if I violated our no secrets policy. We'll certainly have that going forward. And I should say, I did try to get Stormy Daniels to come on TrumpCast. And I believe her response to that was, what's that?
Ooh.
And I said it's a podcast that a lot of people listen to about Donald Trump. But I actually thought when we were negotiating about the possibility of her going public with this story in the late summer and fall of 2016, that coming on this podcast, before you were a regular, you were just an occasional guest, we were incomplete in that era, but I thought I would interview her about the story, and that was one possibility, which in the end she wasn't willing to do. You know, this isn't the kind of thing I usually do as a journalist, but what happened was I ran into a friend at a party in New York, and he said, hey, I've got a tip for you. I've got a friend in California who has a friend who is in the adult film industry, and she had an affair with Donald Trump, and she might be willing to talk about it.
We've said many times when we've discussed sexual abuse and harassment charges against the president and other people that Jacob would be last to the guillotine. He is a gentleman of the highest order, and he does not have connections with porn stars, but he is an intrepid journalist.
And I'm usually the last to any kind of story like this. I mean, I just, you know, this isn't the kind of reporting I've done before. I'm known for having demanded the year off during the Monica Lewinsky scandal because I didn't want to write about it. But anyway, in this case, I thought, look, this bears looking into, and it falls to me. And I tracked Stormy Daniels down, and she was willing to talk to me pretty openly when I finally got her on the phone. And it was a pretty interesting story. She said she'd had an affair with Donald Trump for 11 months. It was just under a year. Mm-hmm. She'd met him at this golf tournament in Nevada at Lake Tahoe, mm-hmm. Where he'd sort of picked her up, and they'd ended up in his hotel room. And then, you know, she met him several times for liaisons after that in L.A. a couple of times. She went to Trump Tower, saw him in New York. And
you guys have not lived until you've heard Jacob say liaisons. listening to your discomfort right now.
They had some rendezvous. What's the plural of rendezvous? It's also rendezvous.
I think so.
But interestingly, you know, this continued through the time of the Access Hollywood tape and the other accusations of sexual assault and harassment mm-hmm. against Donald Trump. And that was not what Stormy Daniels was saying. She said it was a consensual affair. Mm-hmm. And she very much insisted she was not a victim in this situation. Mm-hmm. But it was a story that rang true in many ways. And one of them was that he'd misled her about all kinds of things. He said he was going to buy her a condo in Tampa. And most notably, he said he was going to put her on The Apprentice as a contestant mm-hmm. because he was very impressed with her as a businesswoman. She was Stormy Daniels, in addition to being an actress or performer in adult films. Mm-hmm. She's a director, and I think she's pretty entrepreneurial, and she's been very successful, or so I gather, in this industry. And so he thought, what better contestant? That's actually kind of a good idea. I would watch that.
Can I ask about the first Nevada meeting? And I don't know if you know this, but was it also a business arrangement that she had with Trump? I mean, was she being paid for sex?
No, I don't think so. There was another allegation from another adult film performer called Jessica Drake, who said that Trump kissed her without her consent and offered her $10,000 to have sex with her. And that was right around the same time, 2006. But Stormy Daniels didn't say anything like that. Consensual affair went on for a while. He didn't put her on The Apprentice, but she didn't really think he would. But what really got interesting about it, and, you know, in the context of sort of the horrors of Donald Trump having an affair with someone, a consensual affair with someone early in his marriage didn't seem like that big a deal. It was more interesting than, you know, a high-level outrage in any way.
But wait a second. I want to stop you because that is actually very interesting because obviously if we had learned the same thing about Bill Clinton, Obama, George W. Bush, you know, we would have thought this was like explosive. And, you know, we hadn't yet learned about Access Hollywood. We knew he had cheated on his first wife with Marla Maples because it was all over the tabloids. But we didn't know that he had been unfaithful to Melania, his current wife. I feel the same way. I can't tell what would excite the electorate or not about Donald Trump's sex life or harassment or assault charges. Sometimes you think nothing interests them. And then Access Hollywood at the end, which came at the end of your conversations with Stormy Daniels, briefly set people on fire. How did you make that decision? It just was such a weird time. And we're talking about the summer before the election.
Well, I wasn't making a decision. I was trying to get the story.
Yeah.
And the really interesting part of it to me was that she told me she was negotiating with Donald Trump for a non-disclosure agreement. There was a proposal, I don't know if he proposed or she proposed, but that he would buy her silence. That I thought was pretty notable and interesting and relevant.
Because when it jumps to money and lawyers, you're just like, now there's a story we've gotten. Like we don't want to be upstairs in a hotel room with Stormy Daniels, but if Michael Cohen is involved, count me in.
It's not the crime; it's the cover up, right?
Yes.
And this was pretty clearly a negotiation taking place, and I think the reason, although I tracked her down, the reason she was willing to talk to me and was also negotiating with some other journalists is she thought Trump wasn't going to pay her. I mean, it was the classic. She was a subcontractor. And after the election, she thought Trump was going to get through the election. Everyone assumed he was going to lose at that point. And then at that point, wouldn't have signed this agreement with her and wouldn't pay her an amount, which I understood to be in the very low six figures, over $100,000. But I'm not sure exactly how much. The Wall Street Journal has now reported that it was $130,000.
Got it.
And she thought as an alternative to being paid to not give out the story, she could sell the story. I explained to her that Slate didn't pay sources and that reputable news organizations didn't do that and that it would hurt her credibility if she was paid for the story. And I really tried to encourage her to go public without compensation. But we kind of hit a wall there. We were talking ostensibly on the record, and I thought she would probably eventually be willing to be interviewed on the show or give her story to me formally. But we kept going back and forth, and she was not reconciled to the idea that she would not get paid for her story. And I believe she talked to Good Morning America, and it's now been reported she talked to the Daily Beast and maybe others. And it seems like nobody was willing to pay her for this story.
This podcast is sponsored by Cloud Optimizer.
As a business owner or IT manager, are your cloud investment costs going up and you don't know why? It's time for Cloud Optimizer. As you migrate your business to the cloud, what you're spending and why you're spending it can get a little hazy. But Cloud Optimizer clears up the mystery and puts the cloud to work for you. Cloud Optimizer starts by analyzing usage patterns, right-sizing resources, leveraging discounts you may not be aware of, implementing automation, and much more. And by reducing unnecessary expenses and maximizing performance, Cloud Optimizer guarantees you a savings of 5 times what you spend for their service. As you utilize cloud-based services more and more, you don't have to lose sight or control of your spend. You can stay agile, streamline your costs, and optimize your performance, plus save significant money with Cloud Optimizer.
Make the cloud work for you with Cloud Optimizer. Get a free assessment and find out how much you can save by going to cloudoptimizer.com. Go to cloudoptimizer.com for your free assessment. That's cloudoptimizer.com.
How did you kind of kick the tires of the story when you were talking to her? I mean, how did you know she was not just seeking attention?
Well, she had some corroborating detail she could offer. I mean, she said she arranged these meetings through Keith Schiller, Trump's longtime bodyguard, and here's his phone number, and Rona Graff, his personal assistant. Mm-hmm. She knew Trump world really well, and she said the lawyer we're talking to is Michael. And I said, Michael Cohen? She said, yeah, that's the guy. And this was before Michael Cohen. You know, this was pre-dossier. I mean, Michael Cohen was Trump's personal lawyer.
But you had that name in your pocket.
Well, I'd heard that name, but it wasn't quite as much of a household name. And then I spoke. I said, you know, I want to speak to people at the time who can provide contemporary corroboration, who you told or who knew about it at the time. Mm-hmm. And I spoke to 3 friends of hers, all gay men, who are still friends with her and who she sort of lived with a couple in one case while the part of the affair was going on. Mm-hmm. And their story matched hers. I mean, she had said the same thing then and she had said the same thing to them. They didn't necessarily remember all the details. But that part of it I considered pretty well confirmed. Mm-hmm. And actually brought another Slate reporter, our friend Leon Nafok, who's a very good investigator, to help me try to track some of this down. But once she stopped returning my calls and texts and was no longer cooperating. And I still wanted to try to figure out how to do the story. Mm-hmm. But the biggest problem was I couldn't corroborate the agreement.
Yeah.
I had reason to think she'd made this agreement with Trump through Michael Cohen and through her lawyer, who was called Keith Davidson. Mm-hmm. And in fact, a friend of hers told me that she told him that she'd made this agreement. But all I had was an unsigned addendum to the contract that they were negotiating.
Hmm.
And it didn't on its own prove anything. It's pretty interesting. I still got it on my phone here. She texted it to me.
Yeah, the addendum, right. Tell me about that.
Well, so presumably there's an agreement that the non-disclosure agreement that she won't say anything. But the agreement uses pseudonyms. And this is partly how they make it a secret confidential agreement.
Got it.
And so the addendum says the pseudonym this in the agreement is actually this person. And the person called this is actually this person.
Uh-huh,
so it says
cipher.
Yeah, so this addendum says that Stormy Daniels in the agreement is referred to by the pseudonym Peggy Peterson and blank is referred to by the pseudonym David Dennison.
So wait, even the addendum, which supposedly gives you the code, you know, that A equals Z and so forth, the breaks the code of the thing, doesn't have the name of the principal, Donald Trump, in it.
Well, the part I have is blank. It has a blank to fill in that name, which presumably would be Donald Trump
he was contracted with.
So once they signed it.
So the fully executed addendum would, we imagine, fill in the name of our president.
I think it would have to. And there's a provision in this addendum that says only Stormy Daniels' lawyer, Keith Davidson, and the lawyer for the other party may retain copies of this side letter agreement that identifies the parties by their real names. So if this happened, if this agreement got signed, there is a side letter in the files of Michael Cohen and of Keith Davidson saying who the pseudonyms in this in the contract are, and those are the only two copies.
NDAs are so odd and interesting because part of this NDA must have included that you are also under an NDA about having an NDA, right? So if you're if she's sued for violating her NDA, then the Michael Cohen, the other parties have essentially admitted she has an NDA. And if she has an NDA, that's the cover-up. And well, that's the interesting part.
The giveaway was when the Wall Street Journal broke this story on Friday. There was a statement from Stormy Daniels that was released by Michael Cohen. And he released this statement in under her signature dated 2 days before the Wall Street Journal story. So they must have known it was coming. And, you know, in it, she denied having a sexual and or romantic affair. I love sexual and or romantic with Trump or receiving any, quote, hush money from Trump. But presumably, if you didn't receive hush money from Trump, why are you releasing your statement through Trump's lawyer?
Right.
I mean, you might release your statement yourself if you wanted to deny, but to get Trump to effectively release it for you seemed like a little bit of an obvious giveaway there.
No. And you talked to her lawyer, though, right?
I never talked to her lawyer. Okay. I spoke to an agent. There was another woman named Gina Rodriguez, who was also a former porn performer. I'm with you that not all porn actors are porn stars.
You know, I work very hard on Twitter to say interesting things. The only thing that has ever gotten that kind of attention was just a very – I only later realized it was an astute question. Why is anyone who's ever appeared in pornographic film called a porn star?
I'm with you, Virginia. Not everybody can be a star. Some of them have to be just journeymen and women, journey porn performers. But anyway, Gina Rodriguez, who was is a kind of agent, and like Keith Davidson, the lawyer, seems to represent a lot of this kind of reality TV show type people with lawsuits against celebrities. Mm. I mean, there's a whole kind of demimonde here, which is not does not seem very salubrious. But I did speak to her, and she seemed to be the one negotiating with some of the media organizations on behalf of Stormy Daniels when she was possibly going to go public. At one point, she was maybe going to have a press conference in Dallas, but then it just all went dark, and she stopped responding.
You know, from some of the real wingnuts on Twitter, there was a charge that you had, quote, sat on the story because, of course, you were in the pocket of the Trump campaign or maybe the Russians intending to give us Donald Trump. But so I remember you succinctly summed up why you hadn't gone with the story, and it was essentially what you said. You couldn't nail it.
Yeah, there are a bunch of reasons. I mean, I couldn't nail down the stuff about the agreement to satisfy, I think, a high enough standard of proof. But also, you know, we were on the record, but she was asking to be paid.
Right.
And, you know, I couldn't then. Didn't seem fair if she was trying to sell it. And I was talking to her about that, even though I wasn't offering to pay to then go with the story, which she would have, once she signed the agreement, contradicted. So it would have the story would have been porn star says she had an affair with Donald Trump and have her presumably put out a press release saying I didn't have an affair with Donald Trump.
Right.
So it was in a very gray zone then. And also, you know, there was this other story about this former Playboy centerfold model who was called Karen McDougal. And the Wall Street Journal reported right before the election, 4 days before the election, that she'd been effectively paid off by the National Enquirer. David Pecker, who's the CEO of American Media, the friend of Trump's, paid $150,000 for her story, but in fact, to not publish her story.
Right.
So there was something very, very close parallel because she was similarly apparently going to allege that she'd had an affair with Trump. And that story didn't, 4 days before the election, in the middle of Access Hollywood and everything else, didn't seem to matter that much or make that much of a splash. So some of this just seemed at that point like not absolutely crucial or relevant.
Is that story about of David Pecker at the National Enquirer interests me because tabloid methodology of paying for stories turns into kind of a shell company for hush money. I mean, do you think that it's Trump's people, or was David Pecker essentially making a donation to the Trump campaign, or do you think that might have come through the through Michael Cohen.
That looked like a contribution to me, but another way of silencing someone. I think they've probably done a lot of this.
Yeah.
I think this is pretty well-trod ground for Donald Trump. I doubt it's the first agreement like this he's made. And, you know, in some ways, I was saying at the end of the campaign, it didn't seem in the context of what was going on that it was kind of a top 10 liability for him. But, you know, in the context of the Russia story and the Steele dossier, some of this takes on a slightly different light. When the dossier first came out, one of the claims from Trump and his people was that the story about consorting with prostitutes in the Ritz-Carlton in Moscow and there being compromise was all ridiculous because Trump, you know, just didn't do stuff like that. Well, you know, we're now up to four people who've had some involvement in the porn industry who've alleged relationships with him. This one woman, there was a Daily Beast story about another porn actress called Alana Evans who said at this golf thing at Reno where he met Stormy Daniels, they invited her to come for a threesome. You know,
that's right.
Whatever
the
idea that this that the dossier allegations about Trump are totally implausible, and that there couldn't possibly be compromise based on his behavior when he was there for a beauty contest in 2013. Well, this provides little potential substantiation of that.
I mean, it's a little bit like the slightly tedious conversation about is Trump a racist? I mean, since 1973, he's done racist things. He's in praxis, as they say, word and deed. He's a racist. And we have from Michael Wolff's book, from things Trump has said about women on the Howard Stern show, from all these allegations, from the Marla Maples episode, we, in the very first profile of Trump in the in the New York Times, it says he's always surrounded by slinky models. I mean, you know, this is a guy who, by his own admission, has, like, styles himself as a kind of playboy surrounded by women, doesn't shy away from adultery. In fact, you know, splashes it on the cover of the Post. And I think the case is closed that he's promiscuous and lecherous.
Yeah, but, you know, Steele went to the FBI when he was working on what became the dossier,
right,
according to Glenn Simpson's testimony, which we talked about last week,
yeah,
because he was worried that Trump could be blackmailed.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And this is, you know, put in a different light, paying someone to keep secrets about his sex life is looks a lot like paying blackmail. So again, this this story I think has a relevance in the dossier context and the Russia context because it substantiates a very real concern that he's highly blackmailable if he did all these things.
Yes, vulnerable to blackmail, which brings us back to our comfort zone of Trump Russia, where we what really interests us. Thanks for pointing out. You're right. It's about the money. You are forgiven for your secrets.
And if I didn't tell you before, I'm really sorry.
I'm glad we got honest
no
today.
Secrets.
And sat
no
down.
Secrets. No secrets going forward. Pound it.
Okay, take care. So that's our show for today. TrumpCast is produced by Jason DeLeon. And before we go, you got to follow us on Twitter. We're at RealTrumpCast. That's at RealTrumpCast. I'm Virginia Heffernan. Thanks for listening to the show.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.